here.
Hi, I'm Eric Dama, pastor at Gospel of Grace Fellowship, and I'm in studio along with Gospel of Grace's theologian and teacher, Bob DeWay. We both want to welcome you here to Critical Issues Commentary Radio, where we dig into the great doctrines of the faith revealed verse by verse through the scriptures, and where we teach you how to contend for the faith once for all, handed down to the saints. Well, Bob, it's great to be with you again here in studio, and it's fun to be talking and to be examining this Christ hymn. Just talking about it has been a lot of fun for both of us.
I enjoy this, and we were just talking before we started recording here.
Yeah.
There aren't a lot of seminaries anymore that want to teach Christian doctrine.
Right.
And we know that we're getting rather, how would you say it, technical.
Yes.
In talking about the doctrine of Christ, and we're doing seminary-type teaching.
Right.
At least you would hope that they'd find it there. Yeah. But a lot of people aren't.
That's right.
And so we want the whole flock to hear the details about what's being revealed in Scripture here.
Amen.
About the doctrine of Christ.
That's right.
That's what the Christ hymn is about.
Right.
So we're not apologizing.
Yeah, amen.
And
well,
we're not
said.
Telling you, oh, we're going to be real simple from now on.
Right.
We're going to give you the whole counsel of God.
That's
and
right.
deal with theological terms that exist for the purpose of understanding Christ.
Amen. You can't think of a better topic to understand than
this
that.
This isn't about being heady or technical for that sake, but that we'd understand what God has said
Amen.
About Christ.
Yeah, you had mentioned some time back, look, Paul expected the people in Galatia and Rome, etc., to understand technical theological concepts like propitiation and etc. So, yes, this is something we have to delve into.
It's in the Scripture.
It's in the Scripture.
We're not making this up. It's in the Scripture.
Right, that's right. Well said. Well, I know last time we had left off in verse 17 where we talked about the fact that not only was Christ before all things, but he's also the sustainer. It says in him, all things hold together. Now as we move into verse 18 of Colossians 1, Paul says he is also head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything.
Wow.
Wow, there's a lot there, isn't there?
Yes, there's a lot of concepts. I was just showing Eric the notes I have for my next sermon, and it's really dense.
That's the densest of all I've seen, yeah.
When Eric first started preaching in connection with me.
Right, right.
Quite a few years ago.
Yeah.
One of our first get-togethers to talk about it, I remember I said, count concepts.
Count concepts, that's
count
right.
Count concepts.
That's right.
You'll see then how to divide up your sermon.
Right. It's very helpful. And by the way, that's a great it's very helpful for everyone out there who does a Bible study.
Yeah, if you're a teacher.
Yeah.
And it isn't how many verses you cover.
Right.
Okay, we're going about a half a verse at a time here.
Yeah.
Through this Christ hymn. But we're counting the concepts.
Right.
And if we come to a concept like we did last week in Christ as the sustainer of the entire universe.
Yes.
And you think about all the implications of that, especially given questions that arise with astronomy and modern science and the subatomic discussions.
Right.
That's a dense concept, so we don't mind spending a whole radio show on it.
Absolutely.
Okay?
It's worth it.
So our goal isn't to cover X number of verses.
Right.
It's to adequately cover everything that God has said.
Amen. Well said.
And so in that regard, here we have another verse with a lot of concepts, but they're profound concepts.
They are.
And so the first half of Colossians 1:18 says he is also head of the body of the church. So our concept to explore today is what does it mean that Christ is the head of the church?
Right.
And what are implications of that doctrine?
That's right.
What do we need to take to heart? What do we need to know? How does it encourage us? How does it instruct us?
Right.
How does it comfort us? And what do we really mean when we say that?
Right.
These are things that Christians want to know.
Amen. Well said, Bob. I think it's a very important concept that we can really delve into. And one of the things I wanted to begin by mentioning is, as Christ here is described as the head of the body, what's very beautiful throughout the New Testament is the body is often an image that's used in connection with the church, because so closely associated are believers with Christ who saved them that they're considered part of his own. And an example I've used often is in Acts 9, when you had Saul on the road to Damascus, and Christ calls him into account when he appears to him. And obviously Saul had been murdering Christians, but Jesus says, interestingly enough, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?"
Good cross-reference.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? Yeah, it is. So here, we're so connected as believers to Jesus Christ that we're likened to his body.
Yeah, we see Christ identifies with us.
Exactly.
And we need to identify with Christ.
Amen.
And think about what it means that he is our head.
Right.
And that we are his body.
Yes.
And so that's very humbling to think that if we come under attack or persecution,
yeah,
that Christ would say about us, "Why are you persecuting me?"
Wow. That's beautiful.
And we tend to think, well, I'm not really that good of a Christian. Maybe Christ is embarrassed about me.
Mm.
But he's willing to identify with his own,
wow,
whom he saved, whom he sanctified.
Yeah.
Let's make some application. We have a little video on our CIC website,
yeah,
that my daughter put up there back when I was really sick and just coming back to preaching.
Right.
And I wrote this article critiquing Jesus' calling.
Right, yes.
And I noticed in that book, Jesus, the Jesus of the book, which is a spirit Jesus.
Sure.
Not Jesus come into flesh.
Right.
So you got a problem right there.
Right, heresy.
He's complaining to this lady about other Christians.
Oh, my.
And so on this little video, I was preaching about Christ interceding.
Yeah.
At the right hand of the Father. For us.
For us, right.
And so I asked this question. Is Christ complaining about us or interceding for us?
Wow. Very good point.
What
yeah.
does the Bible reveal?
Right.
I'm not saying there isn't a lot that would be worthy of being complained about.
Right. Okay. Looking at my own
There's
life,
a lot
right.
of things that we do that,
that's isn't right.
right. But see, God is so loving and so kind that Jesus, as the head of the church,
yeah.
who is our intercessor,
yes.
who is our high priest, intercedes for us before the throne of God.
Amen.
And so that's how we can know that book was false, because the Jesus in this devotional book complains about us.
Wow.
The Jesus of the Bible intercedes for us.
Great point. You know, Bob, I remember too, just being under your tutelage years ago, you impressed upon me the fact from 1 Corinthians 12 all the way to 14, how important the body is,
yeah.
and how this relates to how we should treat one another. If another believer, no matter how lowly they are, was purchased by the very blood of Christ, is considered a body component of Christ himself.
Absolutely.
Boy, we better treasure every single believer and treat them with the utmost of respect.
You know, it actually says that in very certain terms.
Exactly.
Should one part of the body say to the other, "I have no need of you"?
Right. How terrible would that be?
Well, you and I had that happen to us, didn't we?
We did. That's right.
And that's not easy to go through.
That's right. It's tough.
To just be told we're not needed.
That's right.
We don't need you.
Right. Yep.
Whatever you have to contribute, we're not interested in.
That's right.
That's not how we're supposed to treat one another.
That's right. Yeah.
And we need to make sure that we don't do that.
Amen. That's
that right. Everyone whom Christ has saved is necessary. And actually it says in 1 Corinthians 12
yeah.
that if somebody seems less honorable, yeah. doesn't say they are.
Right, right.
Looking at it from a human perspective, we might think, oh, yeah, that's just kind of an ordinary Christian over here.
Sure, right.
You know, seems
yeah.
less honorable. Upon such one, we bestow more abundant honor
wow.
that there be no schism in the body. Now, all of this I'm quoting from memory.
Yeah.
So if you look it up and you see something where it's just slightly different,
but that's the idea,
that's,
absolutely.
That's why I'm just quoting from memory.
Right.
And that's an essential, important understanding of what yeah. it means that Christ is the head and we are his body.
Amen.
There are no unimportant or unnecessary parts to the body.
That's right.
Each one has been added by the Lord who's shed his blood to redeem them.
Right.
And each one is precious to the Lord. So, our dear listeners, you can be assured that Jesus loves you and is interceding for you.
Right.
And yes, I know I have faults. You do too.
Right, right.
But we can go to the throne of grace, and Christ is helping us, not complaining.
Complaining, right. You know, Bob, you had given a message this past week, and again, we're always ahead in the sermons from where we are in the radio because we take more time in the radio. But in Colossians 3, you just preached this past Sunday, you'd mentioned a very important imperative that Paul gives, and that was to put in our vernacular, to put up with one another.
Yes.
And part of that, the way I would take that apart and kind of apply it is, look, there's what's called binding and loosing. We're bound morally to certain things that Christ commands through his apostles.
Amen.
There are certain things that we're morally bound to do or not to do. But where we're not bound, we have freedom. And the point that you were making is, look, in these areas of freedom, if we have idiosyncrasies that happen to rub another person the wrong way, that isn't something worthy of jettisoning that Christian. And we have to look through this lens that you're just pointing out to say every single person is purchased with the blood of Christ. He intercedes for them, and they're absolutely precious. And therefore, we ought to bear with one another, put up with one another, and be kind to one another. And that's the treatment that every believer deserves from every other believer.
Yes. And if you're listening to us, we all know that that doesn't always happen in the church.
Right, unfortunately.
There's always problems and difficulties.
Yeah.
With people being upset, either with each other or with the leadership.
Right.
And I'm not saying there aren't valid issues that need to be dealt with.
That's right.
And there is such a thing as church discipline.
Yeah, that's right.
We're not saying that it isn't valid. We sometimes have to do that.
Exactly.
But even that, in Matthew 18, the point is how important each one of the Lord's sheep is to him.
Amen.
And that we should act to bring them back.
Amen.
To that's save.
Right.
Not to just be rid of.
Exactly.
And so Jesus taught us that.
Yeah.
And we should care about each other and do what we can to bring hope and help and honor to each member of the body.
Well said.
And God will be honored if we do that.
Amen. You know, Bob, you and I often, when we do the Lord's Supper, we cite 1 Corinthians 11, and we'll often go perhaps a couple of years just giving the words of institution, but there are warnings.
Yes, we'll talk about them every once in a while.
Yeah, and you and I will do a message periodically just to remind the flock what those warnings are about. But what's interesting is I think that warning in that 1 Corinthians 11 applies to how we should treat one another and how precious the body of Christ is.
Oh, yeah, that's what not discerning the body is about.
Exactly.
And just what we're talking about here, he is the head of the body.
Amen.
If we're saying, if you look at the context, the next chapter, chapter 12, I have no need of you.
Right.
And previously, there are examples of people being excluded for economic reasons.
That's right.
Okay. They're pushed out.
Right.
Okay. So not discerning the body doesn't mean not discerning transubstantiation,
right,
which has been interpreted in church history.
That's right.
That is absolutely false.
Exactly.
It doesn't mean you get some concept from Greek substance theory.
Right.
That the bread is actually Jesus.
Right. That's so foreign to the context.
That's not the point.
Right.
The body of Christ is the church.
Amen.
And it is in that context.
That's right.
And that we have unity that's revealed in the Lord's Supper.
Right.
Because we're dining with the King.
Amen.
We have an article about that if you want to go read it on our website.
That's a beautiful article,
dining
too, by
with
the
King.
I love that, yes.
I think it'll show us
how
important this is. And what we need to know from what it says here, Colossians 1:18a, he's the head of the body, the church. Now, here's a chance to learn things from reading Scripture.
Right.
Okay. Eric, I've heard you talk about things being appositional?
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't that what we have here?
We do, absolutely.
We have apposition.
That's right.
It says in the Greek, the body, soma, the church, ekklesia.
Right, right.
Now, what does that tell us?
Right. The body is, in fact, the church. So the body that Paul's referring to is the church. It'd be like if I said, my friend Bob DeWay, comma, who is a theologian and teacher at Gospel of Grace Fellowship, comma, went and played golf the other day. In between the commas is appositional. It fills in what
so
who I'm referring to.
You know, it's
to.
The same
exactly.
person. I have an example of that. I've heard from British things,
oh, yeah.
people talk about the pound, which
oh.
is the unit of money.
Yeah.
Well, other times you hear them talking about quid.
Oh, I don't know.
Have you heard that?
No.
Somebody quid.
Yeah.
And I always wonder, what's a quid compared to a pound?
Sure.
Well, I was watching this automobile show. I like automobiles and
yeah.
repairing them.
Right.
And they're repairing these old cars.
Sure.
And then they had a list of how much everything cost.
Okay.
And they said, well, we bought this car for 3,000 pounds.
Okay.
And then they have up on there a graphic that shows their little symbol for yeah. a pound as a sign of money.
Okay.
And then we got this, and then this other thing was 50 quid. When they put it up there in the same list with the same symbol,
oh,
quid is just another way of saying pound.
Okay, so it's
so synonymous. The appositional revealed something
yeah.
about the meaning of the language.
Well said, yeah.
Okay.
That's a great example.
So now I know.
Right.
When I hear him talking about a quid. But we do the same thing.
Yeah.
That was $10, and this other thing was $5.
Right. Oh, good point, yeah.
If you're from another country, well, what's a buck compared to a dollar? It's appositional.
Right. Very good point. That's, yeah, it's a good example. And yeah, so the body isn't something different than the church. The church is synonymous with the body.
And we can learn that.
Yeah.
Synonymous terminology
right.
teaches us something.
Right.
Let me give you another example that shows how theologically significant it can be.
Yeah.
I debated some people who claim the kingdom of God is different than the kingdom of heaven.
Oh, right.
Okay, and they had this whole big theology.
Yeah, built off of that.
Built off of the kingdom of, I don't know which it is, the kingdom of God is for the Jews and the kingdom of heaven for the Gentiles. I'll forget which one it
sure,
was.
Sure, right. It's a
false
teaching.
But it's false. Whatever
right?
they call it is false.
Exactly.
And so I show a passage where the term is used appositionally.
Sure, right.
This okay, in the
it.
Same section.
Yeah.
Synonymously.
Right, right.
And so they're the same thing.
That's right.
And these people, oh, no, we don't care about that.
Right, right.
They just plug their ears and go, oh, no, we won't hear you. We don't want to hear the Bible.
Right.
We don't want to learn anything. We have our theology. We won't change.
Right, right.
Well, what does it say? Here's the kingdom of God. Here's the kingdom of heaven. They're synonymous.
That's right. Very
well, then
important.
They accuse me of being a false teacher
oh.
for pointing out the obvious.
Right. And I know the kingdom of heaven was often used by the Jews who were oftentimes afraid of using
yeah.
God's name.
But
so
even
it was a
looking, a lot of times Matthew used it.
Right.
And then you could look at another synoptic
yep.
as in the same exact saying.
Exactly. It's
saying the same thing. See, the
That's
first
right.
thing, dear saints, you need to want to know what the truth is.
That's right.
Not to defend some partisan preacher that you want to be in the same camp with.
Right, right.
So some guy on the radio saying there's a big difference.
Right.
Well, he's my favorite guy, so I got to defend him. No, you got to want to know
what the scriptures
say. The Word of God is saying.
That's right.
And if it's saying that they're the same, then we've got to go with that. We can't go with some guy because we like his demeanor on the radio.
Right. Amen.
Okay.
That's right.
And we wouldn't expect you to go with what we say just because we're us.
Exactly. It better line up with the facts.
You
from
need
the
to
scriptures.
Search the scripture.
Yeah.
We're glad to welcome feedback from people that can show us that we missed something.
Right. Right.
But what yeah. we're seeing here, the head of the body, the church, is appositional.
Yeah.
And they're saying the same thing. So now we know that ecclesia,
yeah,
the gathered together flock,
wow.
whom the Lord set apart for himself, is the same idea as the body.
Right.
Now, there are different nuances in this case that we're learning.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's still the church.
Amen. That's right. Now, Bob, it's very important, too, in this verse 18 that here we have Christ, who is the head of the church. And the reason I make the say that obvious again, the obvious line that Christ is head of the church, is because that's been under dispute by teachers like Les Feldick, who try to pit the Apostle Paul against Christ and his teachings and having two different gospels and two different components, that you end up having Paul who ends up being the head of the church rather than Christ when there's no division.
I wrote an article about that, and I got all kinds of negative feedback from followers of that particular system.
Right.
And why would you, from reading Paul, get the idea we ought to diminish the headship of Christ and decide his teachings are not binding on the church?
Yeah, isn't that vile?
Well, you can't understand the Bible if you do that.
Right, right.
If I can't understand Christ's teachings as binding on the church...
That's right.
Okay, so then I can ignore Christ.
Right.
Well, other than a historical oddity.
Yeah.
Then I, according to that same teaching, can ignore all the apostles other than Paul.
Right, right.
Oh, he wouldn't go along with that.
No, not one whatsoever.
Okay, so we have an article about that, too.
Yeah, right.
Just go to cicministry.org.
Right.
And go into the little search box.
Yeah.
And search Feldick.
Right.
And you'll get that.
You know, Bob, and it's an important concept because in our church today, the denial of the headship of Christ over the church, it looks like this. It looks like a couple or a person who will, beyond Scripture, start telling other believers that they're sinning when in fact they're not, or tell them that they're not welcome when in fact they are. And to go beyond Scripture and basically tell people, look, I'm the lawgiver.
And make yourself the lawgiver. So we've been saying all along,
right?
And by the way, full agreement with Luther on this.
Yeah.
If you want to go back to the Reformation,
right,
we're going all the way back to Scripture. So did Luther.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit comes to us through the Word.
Amen.
And Luther used John 14:26 to prove that.
Yeah.
Now, somebody beyond Scripture wanting to bind us to their own ideas,
right,
is really denying the headship of Christ.
It is. It's a big deal.
Okay, because not only is Christ the head of the church, he appointed his apostles,
yes,
as the ones who speak for him in a binding way.
Amen.
In other words, we must believe them, which would mean there's our New Testament.
That's right. That's
right. Okay. And not just Paul, but Paul and Peter,
exactly,
and John.
Matthew, right.
And the ones whom God appointed,
amen,
to be apostles.
That's
and
right.
Through them we get the New Testament.
That's right.
Okay. And if we want to circumvent that, we're in trouble, which is exactly what Colossians is about.
That's right.
The false teachings in Colossae came from people who wanted to add other things to Christ.
Yes, how deplorable.
Yeah, and so Paul rebukes that.
Right.
And he, to set up the teaching that comes later in Colossians, he has this Christ hymn.
Yeah.
Colossians 1:15-20. We're in the middle of that.
That's right, to show the sufficiency of Christ.
Yeah, so he's the head of the body, the church.
That's right.
So we don't need something outside of that.
Right, right. And we must not have
we
anything outside.
We don't want to go anywhere else.
Amen, that's right. That's well said. And that's one of the problems that I see in evangelicalism, Bob, is I think often licentiousness is spotted, but legalism is often not.
Well, if somebody wants to be more strict than Christ, maybe they think that's pious, but it isn't.
No, it's an attack on his lordship.
That's exactly what the Pharisees were wanting to do.
That's right, that's right.
Rebuke your disciples.
Right, that's
right. It wasn't enough that they were pleasing to the Lord.
Right.
The religious leaders were disapproving of what Christ approved of.
That's right. You know what legalists end up doing is they end up, as it says in Mark 7, nullifying the word of God through their traditions. And one of the problems is when we end up having lawgivers in the church, legalism does two things. One is it promises favor with God that comes through work, something that God hasn't ordained.
Yeah.
In other words, if I do this, then I'm more pleasing or you'll be more pleasing. Well, that's false. That's relying upon works rather than the finished work of Christ. So that's number one. But number two, it heaps upon people huge burdens that they can't ever lift, and they'll forever be under the thumb of this false lawgiver until they realize.
Yeah, because they're the source.
Exactly.
So you can't. You have to keep going back to the human source because you can't get it from Scripture.
Right. So here we see that the counter to that is Jesus as the head of the church, as you've mentioned, and his apostles, those who he's ordained. Jesus said in Matthew 10:40, "Those who receive you receive me."
Amen. So now I have here, I have a printout of a slide from way back when I preached this. It
was quite
a while ago. And we've gone through a lot of this, but here's a point I had. Christ is preeminent in the creation, which we've already seen.
Right.
And is preeminent in the church, the new creation.
Wow, very important.
So not only is he holding together all things.
That's right.
Sustaining as the creator and sustainer of the universe. But he is the creator and sustainer of the new creation.
Right.
That came about through the gospel.
Amen.
So then I want to get to a term that's theological, Eric. And
yeah.
I don't know if you've heard it. You probably did because I see I had it on my slide and you were there when I preached it.
Yeah.
But I heard this in Bible college.
Yeah.
And I wonder, what does that really mean? I say here, this implies an organic relationship between Christ and the body and all its members.
Right.
Or sometimes called corporate solidarity.
Yeah.
Or the organic unity of the church.
Right.
I heard that when I was in Bible college, and I have to admit, I didn't know what it meant.
Right, right.
And I was too proud to admit I didn't know and ask, I guess.
I don't know.
I don't know why I didn't ask. I thought, well, whatever that means, let's go on to the next point.
Right, okay, right, yeah.
But here, the idea of the head and the body is that you have an organism.
That's right.
The church.
It's living.
That has to be attached to the head to live.
Yeah, amen.
Okay. And the head is vitally supplying the entire body.
Yeah.
Okay. And so the organic comes from the term organism, which means the unity and functioning of this body of Christ.
Amen. That's right. And you know, another example of that in Scripture would be when Jesus says in the book of John that he is the true vine.
Yeah, the vine and the branches.
Exactly.
It's another way of describing the same truth.
Amen, that's exactly right.
If you get detached from the vine, you're just going to die.
You wither up and die. Exactly right.
Yeah, so you bear fruit by being attached.
Right.
So each member is attached to the head. Now, there's some important implications of this view that's revealed here in Colossians 1:18a, the first part.
Right.
Okay? There's not some other person who takes over that role of Christ.
Amen. Well said. Yeah.
So that's why we will not submit to Rome.
Right, right.
They're claiming that the Pope is the vicar of Christ.
Yes, his stand-in, yeah.
Yeah, and so, which begins to erode away the idea of the priesthood of every believer.
Exactly,
so each member isn't directly attached to the head.
That's right.
It has access to the head, Christ, through the throne of grace.
Yes.
In prayer.
Right.
But you have to go to some lower court.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Like some people go to Mary, maybe she can talk to Jesus.
Exactly, right.
It's a denial of the organic unity of the body.
That's right. Exactly. And to be detached then from the apostolic word, which is what Rome has done, they made the magisterium, the church, the authority rather than Scripture. So now they're no longer attached to the head. They've been severed from the apostolic word. And so they have a dead organism that's laying out. Think of the imagery of a creature that has its head chopped off and the body's just laying out and rotting in the woods. And you have hundreds and thousands of people that join this dead carcass. But what we're saying is Scripture alone is the final authority. It's our only connection to the head, which is Christ. Christ is the incarnate word. Through the Spirit that he sends, he gives us the word through his apostles.
Yeah. We're indwelt by Christ in the sense that we're involved by the Holy Spirit.
Amen, the Spirit of
who's
Christ.
Who's sent by Christ.
Amen, that's right.
And we see that in Romans 8.
Right, right.
Now I have as a cross-reference here, Romans 12, 4, and 5.
Oh, beautiful, yeah.
For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another.
Wow, very important.
So here's that whole idea of the body.
Right.
We need Christ who sustains the whole body, and we also need one another.
You know, Bob, very important in that Romans 12 associated with that is later he gives the imperative. It's an implied imperative where if you have a gift, you must use it. And the idea is God gifts his body by the Spirit that Christ pours out. I think that's the point of Ephesians 4, where he says he gave gifts to men. And so he's equipped his body with different gifts. And Paul's point later in Romans 12, just after you've cited that, is that if you've been given a gift, the rest of the body needs it.
Yes.
Now, there's an important application, I think, even in when you have, for example, church discipline done, or someone's been excluded because of that, and they're brought back in, I think that implied is their gift should be used again, full restoration.
Of course.
Yeah, absolutely.
Otherwise, why would they be in the body?
Exactly. So one thing to think about is when the body has church discipline done, yeah, that gift may be absent, but once that person's included, that gift should be used again.
It doesn't go away.
It doesn't go away. That's right.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it's something to think about, and it's very important. I like your concept that you brought up, this organic unity with Christ, this relationship, because back to this new creation idea, it's what God has been doing from the very beginning. Our first Adam in the old creation, as it were, brought us sin, death, and the wrath of God. But from the very beginning, God has promised a new humanity, which he initiates in Israel, who end up falling and stumbling. And then Christ ends up being the one who does what Israel never could. He was faithful in the wilderness for 40 days where they had stumbled and fallen in their 40 years of wandering. And so in Christ, we have this new humanity, Bob, and it was the one that was promised right from the beginning that God would bring about this new creation.
Amen.
And it is. It's attached to the head. And for people to divorce this new creation from the head, which is exactly what the Colossians were doing by relying upon surrogates like, you know, the angels to help them from the stoichia, it's very damning. We cannot be cut off from the head.
As we are running out of time here, I wanted to quote Douglas Moo.
Oh, very good.
I recommend his pillar commentary on Colossians.
Right.
Moo says, quote, against people who were arguing that the ultimate spiritual experience had to be found in places in addition to Christ, Paul holds up Christ as the one who is the true and only source of life for the body, just as Christ is preeminent in the universe, so he is preeminent within the new creation, the assembly of new covenant believers.
Wow.
Unquote.
Wow, beautiful quote.
Yeah, so there's a good scholarly source.
Wow.
If some of you are doing your own study on Colossians, I found Moo's commentary to be very helpful to me.
Right.
And I have others, and I use a lot of resources, but we want you to understand the scriptures. So we need to thank God that we're part of this body.
You know what? You're right, Bob. That is so amazing that we would be called out as wicked sinners, have our sins wiped away, and be incorporated into this body.
A good attitude is, I can't believe that God has included me.
Wow.
But he has, and I thank him.
Amen. Well said. Very fitting way to end. Well, we're out of time for this edition of Critical Issues Commentary Radio, but we both want to remind you here that you can access this program at our website at cicministry.org. Bob, it's a lot of fun talking about Christ and discussing his wonderful attributes and who he is, and I look forward to doing it next time.
Amen.
We want to remind all of you out there, as it says in Philippians 1:27, to stand firm in one spirit with one mind and strive together for the faith of the gospel.